Hosea chapter 10 tonight. We'll let the children be dismissed slowly. Nice and slow, right, man? You're doing an awesome job. Josh is handing out an outline for the message tonight. Hosea chapter 10. Let's read verse number 12 tonight. The Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." And we're going to preach a message tonight taken right there in the middle of the verse. It is time. It is time. God, help us tonight. God, teach us. Father, I pray that You do a work in our heart tonight. And Father, I do not know needs tonight, but Father, You do. And Father, You are intimate with every single need that is present in this room tonight. And Father, even though we may not preach necessarily to every need that might be present tonight, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will do a work in the hearts of every single individual tonight. Father, I do pray specifically as we think about the application of the message tonight. Father, if there is one here tonight, or maybe even several of us here tonight, that need to heed this warning that was given to Israel by Hosea, but is still applicable to us today. Father, if it is time for us to seek You in some specific areas in our lives, Father, I pray that tonight we would be willing to be challenged and convicted, and that we would be willing to do business with You tonight. Father, there's no doubt it's time in many different areas in our nation to seek You. It's always time to seek You, no matter what's going on, whether things are good or bad. But Father, I pray tonight that we would learn, that You would help us, and Father, that we would see without a doubt that it is time. So Lord, please help. Be with the children next door. Father, I pray that the Word of God would be placed into their hearts one more time tonight. And Father, we just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We have made our way. We've been studying through the book of Hosea. We made our way to chapter number 10 last week. Last week we looked at verse number 1. The Bible says that Israel is an empty vine. Now, verse 1 doesn't say that they didn't have any fruit. The Bible says in verse 1 that they brought forth fruit. But they brought forth fruit, the Bible says, unto themselves. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth, forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars." So the more fruit, or the more blessings, if you will, that God brought into their lives, the more altars they built. The more gods, little g gods, that they took. He says, according to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. And so Hosea comes to his people in verse number 12, and he says, it is time. Probably every single one of us in here tonight have had moments in our lives where we have thought, or maybe we have said it verbally, we've said it out loud, you know, it's time for me to get a hold of this situation before it goes any further. Maybe not even something that was self-inflicted per se. Maybe not even something that you were doing, but maybe just a situation, maybe in your family, maybe at work, whatever the situation may have been. But there was probably a time where all of us have said, you know, before this goes any further, it's time that we get a handle on this. Hey, listen, if you've ever watched Andy Griffith, many times Barney Fife said, look, it's time to do what? Nip it in the bud. It's time to nip it. You know what? That's a billion times over Because here's the truth, and we've seen this, and we've talked about it really ad nauseum, but we've talked about it many, many times. Israel is standing on the threshold of judgment. And Hosea says, it's time. You know, I believe God would say that to us as a nation tonight. I believe He could say that without a doubt to us as a nation. Maybe He could say that to some of us as individuals. Maybe He could say that to some of our families tonight. It is time. Think about a few of these things with me real quickly, and then we'll get right into the message. When segments of our population applaud abortion on demand, then it is time. It's time to seek the Lord. When same-gender marriage is recognized as normal, it is time. By the way, I saw just a headline, I didn't read the article, just a couple of days ago, that our Secretary of Education said that he is in favor of transgender students playing sports based on what they identify with. So if a young man identifies as a girl, he is in favor of allowing him to play with the girls. That's wrong. When church leaders bow to the whims of the culture, it is time. When truth is fallen in the street, it is time. When churches are demonized for engaging in their First Amendment right, and more importantly, their God-given command, it is time. When Christian parents are more concerned about the athletic prowess of their child instead of his or her salvation and spiritual growth, it is time. We could park right there for a long, long time. There are parents today who spend hundreds and thousands of dollars for their children to play sports, and they won't put a dollar in the offering plate. That's a shame. That's a shame. When the church house looks more like a nightclub than a place of reverent worship, it is time. When Sunday school teachers spend more time on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter than they do on studying their Sunday school lesson, it is time. By the way, I don't think we have a problem with that here. At least I hope we don't. I don't think we do. When spiritual activities take a back seat to secular activities, it is time. When pastors are more enamored with social justice than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is time. When Sunday has become just another day of the week, it is time. By the way, I heard yesterday that Burger King just came out with either a TV ad or some other ad, a print ad, taking a jab or a shot at Chick-fil-A for being closed on Sunday. That's a good thing. Amen, Brother Steve. That's a good thing, isn't it? When we can sit perfectly still and watch a 2-hour movie, but can't sit still and give attention to a 45-minute message, it is time. When criminals are applauded and supported by political leaders, it is time. When criminals are applauded and supported by church leaders, it is time. When evil is called good, and good is called evil, it is time. And we could go on and on and on with the illustrations tonight, but it is time. And I want to give us three truths from this chapter tonight, and speaking primarily about the nation of Israel, and I hope that the application would be very clear for us tonight. I want us to see, first of all, as we think about that phrase, it is time to seek the Lord. I want us to see, first of all, it was time for them. And when I say them, I'm talking about the nation of Israel. It was time for them to consider their ruin. R-U-I-N. It was time for them to consider, as we said just a moment ago, that judgment was at the door. That the ruin of their nation, of them as a people, was at the doorstep. Look, if you would, let's begin in verse number 3, if we could. Or actually, let's just begin in verse 2. of Hosea chapter number 10. It was time for them to consider their ruin. That judgment was coming. By the way, history tells us that at this time that Israel was pretty prosperous. Even though to God they were an empty vine, they were a prosperous people. And by the way, for the most part, right now as a nation, and I know we would say, well, we're not as prosperous as we used to be, and things are a little different right now, and prices are rising and rising, and by the way, they are, aren't they? But we're still prosperous. And we still live pretty much better than any other nation on this earth. And that's the way the nation of Israel lived. But Hosea came to them and he said, look, it is time to seek the Lord because look, judgment stands at the door and you're on the threshold of going into captivity to an enemy nation. Verse number 2, the Bible says their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, hey, all those images mentioned in verse 1 that they increased, as God's blessings upon them increase, they increase their altars. God said He'll break those altars. He'll spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven. Just another name for Bethel. We know that that was where one of the golden calves was placed by Jeroboam. The Bible says, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. By the way, that just simply means it didn't take very much to cut him off. The foam on the water, you can blow on it, it's gone. Just like that, the king of Israel is gone. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Any of you go back to Judges 19 and read that last week? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you didn't, do it this week. We mentioned that last week. And it comes up again. Or actually, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But it comes up again. The sin of Gibeah found in Judges chapter 19. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Number one, it was time for them to consider their ruin. Their ruin was coming. Why? Because, first of all, of their golden gods. Their ruin was coming because of their golden gods. We've mentioned this so many times in our study of the kings of Israel and here in the book of Hosea. Look, they set up the golden calves in Bethel and Dan. Jeroboam set those up so that they would not go back to Jerusalem and worship. And in verses 5 through 8, he says, look, your golden calves are going to be sent to Assyria. He says, the inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. Their ruin was coming because of their golden gods. We've said this a few weeks ago, but idolatry precedes immorality. America is immoral because America is idolatrous. Idolatry always precedes immorality. And America is immoral because America is idolatrous. We have so many idols today, and I know we always give the caveat, you know, we may not have idols sitting up in our home that we bow down to, but we have so many. We are a garden of gods in America. We have so many gods. We could go through and list tonight, but you know, we've made ourselves gods. Their ruin was coming because of their golden gods. And their ruin was coming because of their wicked ways. Verse number 13. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. I mentioned this last week because we read verse 13. I am thankful beyond thankful for our United States military. But God help us that we never put our trust in that and that alone. Amen. We better have our trust in God. We better have our trust in the Lord God Almighty. It was time for them to consider their ruin. Their ruin was coming because of their golden gods, and their ruin was coming because of their wicked ways. Again, in verse 9, he says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. And it is time for us, yes, as a nation, to consider our ruin. But maybe tonight it might be time for maybe a family, maybe an individual here tonight, to consider and say, you know what? The way I'm living, the gods that I have, the wicked way that I'm living, is judgment possibly on my doorstep? Am I possibly standing on the threshold of judgment? Am I possibly standing on the threshold of some calamity in my life because I refuse to submit and bow? I refuse to seek. I refuse to sow in righteousness. I refuse to break up my fallow ground. I refuse to seek the Lord. And because of that, I'm like the ground. Any of you seen the story this week about, or maybe over the past few weeks, about the drought that they're having out west? Serious stuff. Colorado, serious drought. You say, Pastor, is that the hand of God? Possibly. Is that the hand of God maybe to try to wake us up? Possibly. You say, Pastor, we don't live in Colorado. Well, it could be something else for us. You know what? God many, many times allows things to come into our lives to try to wake us up. And it's incumbent upon us for us to wake up. It's incumbent upon us to listen to what God is saying to us. And look, I know for the most part, our lives, we're going as normal and everything is as normal. But it could only take a moment for things to shut down again the way they did last year. You know, they're talking about the new Delta variant right now. And I think in my mind, are they just setting us up again to shut us down again? We've seen it over the past couple weeks. Tony Fauci is a charlatan. He's a fraud. Well, not listen to anything he says. Pastor, it's just your opinion. You better just stay with the text tonight. Hey, that's just truth. He's a fraud. And our nation has listened to him. By the way, our president last year should have fired him. Now, he probably felt like he couldn't because the news media would have absolutely crucified him. But he should have fired him because he changes his opinion every week. Is this new Delta variant that they're talking about right now that they found in India that's really supposedly springing up in Great Britain, and they've even found a few cases here. Is that something else that they're trying to set up? Or maybe is it something real? It could be something real. But God many times brings things to our doorstep to try to wake us up. And Hosea came to Israel. He said, Israel, it's time. It's time that you consider your ruin. Judgment is coming. Let me give you number two. It was time for them to consider their ruin. But secondly, and this is what the verse is all about, it was time for them to cultivate righteousness. It was time for them to cultivate righteousness. How do you do that? First of all, letter A, first of all, by plowing. Look what the verse says. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It was time for them to cultivate righteousness. Look, they had been cultivating everything else. They had been growing weeds and thorns. They had been allowing their righteous ground, if you will, to lay fallow, to lay barren and uncultivated. And Hosea came to Israel and said, look, it's time to break up your fallow ground. How many Christians in America tonight, if God in heaven could speak to them directly, and by the way, He is through His Word, but if He could scream from the heavens, He would say, hey, it's time to break up your fallow ground. It's time for you to stop being so lethargic about your Christian life. It's time for you to stop being so engaged in things that have absolutely no eternal value. I think that's what God would tell us tonight. How do we cultivate righteousness? First of all, by plowing, breaking up our fallow ground, that which has lain barren for some time. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. Farmers do that sometimes. They allow their ground to lay fallow, to just let it rest for a while. But that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that they have allowed their spiritual ground, their spiritual soil, to lay fallow, and it's hard. He said, break it up. How do you do that? By plowing. What does plowing do? Plowing allows sin to be removed. By the way, what is probably the greatest plow, spiritually speaking, in our lives? It's the Word of God. What is the greatest plow, spiritually speaking, in our lives? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is that which breaks up the fallow ground. It's that which helps us to remove sin. What does plowing do? It allows us, or it allows for sin to be removed, for weeds and thorns, if you will. Jeremiah 4:3, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and listen to this, and sow not among thorns. It allows sin to be removed. It allows the soil to be readied. And it allows the seed to be received. How do we cultivate righteousness? First of all, by plowing. Plowing allows sin to be removed. It allows the soil to be readied. It allows the seed to be received. How do we cultivate? By plowing. Secondly, by planting. What does He say there? He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. You know what Hosea is telling Israel? He said, it's just time for you to get back, first of all, to worshiping God and not all these false idols. And it's time for you just to get back to doing that which is right. Just doing that which is right. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. You say, Pastor, but there's no righteousness out of Jesus Christ. I understand that tonight. Speaking of our salvation. But many times in the Scripture when He talks about righteousness, He's talking about simply just doing that which is right. And Hosea is coming to the nation of Israel. He's saying, look, it's time to do that which is right. It's time for you to start obeying those Ten Commandments God gave you. And the very first one is, thou shalt have no other God. He says, it's time for you to start doing right. It's time for you to start sowing right seed in your life. How do we cultivate righteousness? By plowing. By allowing the Word of God to break up our fallow ground, our hard hearts. Removing the sin, getting the soil ready so that it can receive the seed. How do we cultivate? By plowing, by planting. Thirdly, by praying. Look what He says there in verse 12. Right after He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. What's the phrase there? Reap in mercy. You know what? The farmer can plow the fields. He can get all the weeds out. He can cultivate it. He can plant the seed. But if God doesn't send the rain, it's of no use, is it? How do we cultivate righteousness? Through prayer. He says in verse number 12, "For it is time to seek the Lord." What's one of the ways we seek the Lord? Through prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves and do what? Pray and then do what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. You know, he said, it's time not only to consider your ruin, not only to consider what's coming down the pike, but it's time for you to cultivate righteousness. How do we do that? By plowing, by breaking up the fallow ground. Look, the nation of Israel, their hearts, we've seen this already. Their hearts had gotten so hardened that the Bible says in chapter 8 that they forgot their Maker. Deuteronomy 32, the Bible says that they were sacrificing to the devil. That's how hard their hearts had gotten. These were God's people. How hard do the hearts of some Christians get to the point that they're doing things they never thought they would do? Never thought they would do. And you say, how is that possible? Their hearts are hard. Their hearts are cold. They've quenched their heart to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They've quenched the Holy Spirit. It was time for them to consider their ruin. It was time for them to cultivate righteousness by plowing, by planting. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. You know what will help us more than anything? If we just get up every morning and do right. Well, Pastor, boy, I got all these problems in my life and I don't know how to fix them. Well, I don't necessarily know how to fix them all either, but I do know this. If we'll just get up every day and do that which is right and submit to our God, that'll make a big difference. Just doing that which is right. I know I need to do this today. I need to do this today. I need to be in communion with my God today. I need to be in the Word today. I need to be close to my God today or I'm going to forget Him. I know that's something I ought not say. I know that's something I ought not do. I know that's something I ought not look at. Just do right. You know, we as Americans, we want 10 steps on everything, don't we? Man, give me 5 steps. Give me 10 steps. Give me the 12-step plan. How about one step? Just get up tomorrow and do right. Just do right. Just do what the Bible tells us. Now, sometimes it's not that easy, but sometimes it just takes a decision. You know what? I'm going to do right today. Because we have a choice, don't we? Number one, it was time for them to consider their ruin, to cultivate righteousness by plowing, by planting, by praying. Thirdly, it was time for the Lord to come and to reign. R-A-I-N. It's time for the Lord to come and reign. He says, "For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Two things rain does. Rain refreshes the parched heart. Rain reaps a plenteous harvest. Rain refreshes the parched heart. Would you look at chapter 6? Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1. Chapter 5, verse 15. The Lord says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. God says, look, I'm going to go back to my place, but they can still come to me. I haven't given up on them yet. I haven't brought judgment yet. I'm going to go back to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And notice what Hosea says in chapter 6, verse number 1. What does he say? Come. Hey, Israel, come. Let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The former rain, the rain that comes right after the crops are sown. Boy, isn't that nice? You get your garden sown or a crop sown, and then you get a nice, just steady shower. Perfect. Not a torrential downpour, just a nice, steady shower. Like we had, was it Monday? I can't remember what day it was, but it was just a nice, steady shower. But that isn't all that we need. We also need the latter rain. That rain that comes before the harvest. That rain that comes in between the former rain and the harvest. Because if you get the former rain right at the beginning, that's great, that's good. It gets the seed growing and germinating. But if that's all the rain you get, and then there's no more rain until harvest time, harvest isn't going to be very plenteous. And the Bible says here in verse 12, here in verse number 3 of chapter 6, it says, "And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Hosea cries out to the nation of Israel, it is time to seek the Lord. Because Israel, you need... Hey, Israel, you got the former rain. You need the latter rain right now. Israel, you need the rain. Israel, your hard hearts, your parched hearts need some rain right now. Because if you don't get it, you're not going to have a plenteous harvest. It is time. Hey, Israel, it is time for the Lord to come and reign. But He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that unless you cultivate righteousness. Israel, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Pray! Ask God to give you the rain. Ask God to give you the sunshine. Ask God to give you what you need to be able to reap. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. That ground that is laying barren, that ground that is full of weeds and thorns, and that ground that has stones in it and the different impediments that you need to get out. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. I tell you what, tonight America needs some rain from heaven, and I'm not talking about physical rain. I'm talking about spiritual rain from God Almighty. It is time. Dear friend tonight, dear church family tonight, it is time for us to consider our ruin. You say, Pastor, but we're America. Yeah, and this was Israel. God's chosen people. It's time for us to consider our ruin. You say, but Pastor, it's not. I'm right with God. I'm doing that which is right. Okay, that's great. Then just pray like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9, where he prayed and confessed the sins of his people. And ask God to help. It is time for them to cultivate righteousness. Well, we need righteousness in our nation, don't we? Plenty of wickedness. Plenty of wickedness. You can't hardly turn the TV on without seeing wickedness. You're not even trying to see it. You're just flipping through. You can't even watch. You can't even allow your children to watch cartoons because it's full of the LGBTQ movement. By the way, I thought the Q was bad. Now it's made its way back. Jonathan was telling, I think it was last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, that there was some episode of Blue's Clues. I didn't even know Blue's Clues was around anymore. That was around when my kids were little. An episode of Blue's Clues that was pushing that agenda. Listen, dear friend, You better watch what your kids watch. Oh, it's a cartoon. It's Disney. You better watch Disney closer than anything. It's just a cartoon. Okay, but what is that cartoon pushing? It's funny. I watch cartoons that I used to watch when I was a kid, even cartoons that we didn't think were that bad, and I watch them today, and I'm like, you know what? They were pushing an agenda. It wasn't what it is today, but they were still pushing that agenda. You've got to be careful. It is time to cultivate righteousness. By plowing, by planting, by praying, it's time for the Lord to come and reign. It is time. It's time. And I pray that God will help us to see that. Your family may be doing great, and I look around and I see families who are doing great, spiritually speaking. Listen, what about our nation? What about our communities? They're not doing great. What about our churches? Listen, did you ever think that churches would, even the churches that were on the furthest end of the spectrum, would begin to accept the movements and the agendas that are being pushed today? But they are. Because we're living in an age of tolerance and acceptance. And by the way, we're just preparing ourselves for the Antichrist. That's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves for a one world religion. That's what we're doing. Because we are accepting of everything that is bad. And I think it's interesting that, and I'm done. I mean, we could go for a long time. I think it's interesting. Churches who condemn and mock Christians who are trying to take a strong stand on the Word. And they say, oh, you're too strict. But yet they let anything and everything come in their lives. What? And that's how far we've gone. Churches 20, 30 years ago, even if they were on the very liberal end of the spectrum, they would never, even though they may have agreed with it, they would have never voiced their agreement with it. Of whatever the agenda may be, whether it's abortion. I watched a little piece the other night. I was up late. I couldn't sleep. I watched a little piece on Nightline, which was a first mistake. But they were lauding this young lady in Texas who, she was a valedictorian of her class, and she got up to give her speech, an approved speech. And when she got up, she ripped it up and took a speech out of her pocket. And pretty much the entirety of her speech was a pro-abortion speech. And they were applauding this young lady for her stand on abortion. And how it's her body and she can do whatever she wants with her body. And a person has a right to do whatever they want with their body. And the thought came to me. These are the same people that tell me I have to get a vaccine. Now, if you want to get the vaccine, that's up to you. But these are the same people who say, hey, that's her body. She can do whatever she wants with that body. But they're going to tell me, and by the way, I think it's coming, that you have to get a vaccine. Well, I don't have to. It's my body. If I don't want to take it, I don't have to. Now, if you want to, that's your business. Everybody has to make their own decision on that. My body, my decision, right? Isn't that what they say? Same people. See how hypocritical and disingenuous they truly are? They're in favor of killing babies in the womb, but they're not in favor of you having control over your body. Hypocrisy. That's how far we've come. It is time. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. God, help us. God, help us as a people. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for a body of believers who still have a heart's desire to stand for truth. I thank you for churches like that all across our nation. But Father, I do pray. I pray for us as individuals. I pray for us as families. I pray for us as a church family. I pray for our nation tonight. And Father, it is time. It is time for us to do some deep consideration on where we're at as a nation. Is judgment looming, pending? Are we already receiving some judgment? Oh, it's time for us to cultivate righteousness. It's time for us just to get up every day and do that which is right. Say that which is right. Think that which is right. Do that which is right. Help us, Lord. Because, Father, we need You to come. And we need You to rain righteousness upon us. We need You to come. And we need You to pour out the rain on our parched hearts. Father, I pray that You'd help us. Father, I pray that You'd do a work in our hearts that only You can do. Father, be with us as we go to our time of prayer. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed, but I do encourage you to stay. Spend some time in prayer tonight. Lift up these requests that were mentioned tonight, okay?